We're good? Great. So you may be wondering why it is that we had that, we had the AGM last year, I think it was in October, wasn't it, when I shared some thoughts, which I must admit I was stood here and I was looking out and everyone was looking at me aghast as I was sharing some challenging themes, thinking, what on earth have I done? And then we had that time, I think it was early February, where we spent some time going around each other's houses, really kind of talking through some of these themes which you've been talking about. And there's kind of been a bit of hiatus, and we've kind of dripped in little pieces along the way of things that we're thinking about. But really, we've spent quite a bit of time as a leadership just reading through all the feedback we had. I mean, it's great how much everybody engaged, and that created all sorts of paperwork with interesting handwriting, which we had to try and decode to try and work out what you were trying to say to us, and then really spending time sitting on it and thinking about it and praying and reflecting. And it's taken us quite a lot of time to go through that process. And so what we want to do now is just kind of really update you on where we're at. This is not a kind of a definitive, here is our moment in time and nothing is going to change from this point forward. But we really want to just share with you quite openly where we're at with what we're thinking about, some of the things which we believe the Lord is saying to us as a church, but also in the context of what we think the Lord is doing in our nation and how that fits together. So Trevor's going to talk a little bit about that kind of macro picture around kind of our, if you like, our vision. And then we're going to then kind of talk about each of the topics in turn. As a reminder, the four areas which we kind of spent time splitting into groups and thinking about, and many of you met and talked about it in your cells and fed back thoughts in those areas as well, was around recognising that there's a kind of a sense of changing season, that perhaps that's for us as a church or for many of us individually or in families, that it's a kind of a time of change, and recognising that that change is... It's just kind of saying it in a way. It's a bit of an elephant in the room sometimes, and not to recognise these things. And so that was that first topic. We're going to go through these in a bit more detail and where we've kind of got to in our thinking around them. The second was around young people, recognising that, you know, we love having you guys in church. It's nice you're staying in to listen to us. And even this morning we've seen again how children are a core part of church. We embrace you all in what you bring to us, and you're valued as any ordinary member of Network Church. I think you're valued more than most of us, I would even go so far as to say. The third area was about community, and kind of how do we build a sense of community amongst us, recognising that a lot of us are busy, the whole point about the season changing and different phases of life, and how do we protect what we have as a community across the Network Church. And the last one about mission and outreach. We've always kind of thought of ourselves as a very missional, outward-focused church. So how do we kind of think about that in a kind of a corporate sense of the church, in a way which we want to kind of see growth, not because growth is just kind of something we want, but because we believe that we have something to share, and it's a sign of fruitfulness to be growing. And so that was the other challenge we brought. So we're going to go through those areas in turn in a little while. But before we do that, Trevor's going to talk a little bit around vision.
So the bigger picture, really, the context that all this sits in, is this going on?
Yeah. Have you got anything or not? Yeah, good. Okay, so the context that all this sits in, which for me, I suppose, has developed and changed over the time that I've been in leadership of Network.
It's gone off again. Let's use the other mic. That's
fine. Yeah, I guess recently I've been thinking what has been happening out there. You know, I think a lot about what's going on in here, who we are, who we're becoming, but what's happening out there. And I've been so moved over these last 18 months, probably in reality, at how things have shifted and changed in the local church situation, particularly in Harpenden. And Charlotte thrills my heart when she says that STEP is starting to work with primary schools, because I've been pushing that little idea uphill for the last 12 years with STEP. So when she said that this morning, and is connecting with some of the Harpenden primary schools, that's fantastic. And that is a sign of one of the things that's happening in Harpenden. As the churches connect together, as the church leaders have breakfast together fortnightly, pray for each other in a very open and vulnerable way, as we've been on retreat together, as this joint alpha we share together, the arts festival is an expression of that. These things have been happening in various ways in St Albans, but not in Harpenden the way that they are. And I think the connections create an atmosphere where, to quote that psalm, you know, where we dwell together in unity, the Lord commands his blessing. So I'm really excited that the season that we're stepping into has possibilities that we haven't experienced before, we haven't seen before. And my heart sort of responds to that. Also, in the bigger picture, David and I went to listen to John Eldridge, who's the Wild at Heart guy, because he had some things that he felt on his heart that he wanted to share that were for the UK. And as a guy who we've read his books, listened to some of his podcasts and sort of trust, we went to listen. And Darren, you did the same, didn't you, down in Winchester? Very humble guy, almost a bit too backward in you know, apologetic, which sort of, was rather nice coming from somebody who comes from the other side of the pond. not what I was anticipating at all. But I just said he'd had, as others had had, a picture of these little fires starting around the UK, and was just encouraging us to continue doing what we're doing, to meet together, to pray together, and see what God was going to do in our nation. In a very sort of unapologetic, very unannounced big picture sort of way, but just gently encouraging us. And there have been other things. You know, Matthew mentioned to us a few weeks ago now that he'd had this picture, he'd had this word for me particularly, which he shared several months ago now, that there would be people who would move on, move away geographically, but other people would come amongst us, which we've started to see happen. And it's so thrilling, and I'll talk about this a bit more, to have people looking for faith, people who are new Christians amongst us, as there have been. And I think that's one of those signs, as well as other people starting to connect with us. So I'm very encouraged. I have a sense of hope about our future. And Charlotte came and whispered in my ear just now, after we'd heard Rydell sing to us, about your word to us not being for us necessarily as individuals, which we so often take these things as, but for being us as a community, about us flying, perhaps putting some things down, perhaps starting to step out, having confidence in who we are, who God has created us to be together, so that we can take off, so that we can soar, not in a arrogant way, because that's not who we are, but in a way that is right for us as a family, as people who share our lives together, that we have something to offer, something that people will connect with and enjoy being part of us. That sense of being confident in who God has called us to be. And so I'd like to receive what you shared with us for us as a community. Now, it doesn't mean to say it doesn't apply to us as individuals, but this morning, particularly as we think about these things, how can we be more confident that God is going to breathe his life into us, continue to do that, and give us the energy that we need to run and soar and fly? I had a very powerful illustration of that in a completely different context yesterday, and I was reminded of it this morning as I got up, because my legs ached and my arms and my back were a bit sore, and I said to Pam, I think I'm going to go in the bath, because I spent yesterday helping Tim board his loft. If you can imagine what that was like. and I rang Pam to say we're going to be a bit later than I anticipated, because it was taking us slightly longer. And I said, we're having a workout and a sauna all in the same place. And what was amazing was we started under the eaves, and as we moved to the centre of the room, it just became so much easier to work. There was space, and our activity sped up, and there was a renewed energy as we got to this, you know, we could stand up all of a sudden. And then every time you went downstairs, you got a new sense of, oh, I can breathe again, you know, a sense of more room and more space. And I think that's what it feels like for me as I stand amongst you this morning. This sense of God opening something up for us that we're stepping into together. Coming from this rather restricted, maybe constrained space that maybe we've felt we've been in, and God's just saying, I'm going to open this up. And you'll be amazed at what I'm going to do. There's those verses in Habakkuk, aren't there, that describe that very sense. You know, look out amongst the nations and you'll be staggered at what I'm going to do. And then those words in Hebrews 11. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. I'm very sure of what I hope for. And it's more people discovering us, discovering God in us and through us, finding faith in this coming year. I have faith for that. The ones, the twos, the threes, the fours, not hundreds necessarily, but, you know, just bit by bit, seeing people discover God in and amongst us and through us thrills my heart. So I'm very excited at the bigger picture, but also then zooming in and our part in that. Darren, back to you, I think.
So I think hopefully what you get from that is that we're optimistic, which is, it's interesting. So when we first kind of brought some of these things as challenges, the easy place for us to go to is, oh dear, we've got a problem. This is a negative thing. And I think where we've kind of come out is actually turning it around. And actually, if you take the view that this is what we have faith that the Lord is doing in our nation, the Lord is stirring and he's at work and he's moving, that actually it changes us from how can we be kind of addressing our problems to how can we be part of what he's doing? Because we all know, we say these things several times, unless the Lord moves, what we do is all kind of in vain. We all kind of nod very sagely at these kind of words of wisdom. But actually, it's true. So it is about us partnering with him, but it's not purely about toil. And perhaps at times it's felt like toil. And that's one of the things that I remember John Eldridge was saying in his word. He said, it kind of almost from outside, give a blessing on you for all the years of hard work, where it's felt like you kind of been doing it and it's been very difficult. And perhaps felt oppressive, and perhaps we've got into that kind of negative psychology about the position of the church in our nation. So we've been kind of bad news stories and the church being perceived in a bad way. But actually, there's a sense of renewed optimism that there's positive things going on. And so it's out of that that we want to then talk about these four categories. So I'm just going to start on a changing season. And really, we haven't come out on this particular area with any, here's a change we're going to make, or here's a project or an initiative. We're really just wanting to recognise it and state that it's okay. So many of us have had difficult times. Many of us have had really kind of joyous times. And I think it's part of us as a community that we mourn with those who mourn and we celebrate with those who celebrate. And we look to live life together. We recognise that many people are in a stage of life with children growing up. You've got your new commitments stretched in different ways. And if we were to come out with a huge, big initiative and say, we're going to ask all of you to commit 5 hours a week behind this new initiative, you'd probably get a little bit down at heart, perhaps, that kind of idea. So we're kind of there's not going to be anything which follows, which is going to be asking that of you. So hopefully that's a bit of a breathing a sigh of relief. And what comes is maybe your nervousness, Elizabeth, is starting to assuage a little. Because we're recognising that we live in a part of the world where life is busy and we've all got lots of commitments, and those are good things. So we're just saying it's okay that we've been in this time of change, and the season we're entering is a new one. And there is that sense, as Trevor was saying, that perhaps that's symbolic of us as a church going through that season of change. And Matthew's word you brought 3 or 4 months ago, I think now, about there being that some people moving on, and we can kind of think back, and it's always kind of bittersweet, isn't it, when we think about people moving on. And our approach has always not been to kind of be too precious and get uppity about these things when people choose to move on, but to have a kingdom perspective. And I think it's one of the great credits of us as a community, that we're very kingdom-focused. And as people move on, we bless them as they go. And we look at how the Lord's using them in a new context. So that's kind of always been part of our DNA, that kind of people have come and go. We've had other kind of pictures in our history about kind of like trains coming into a station and staying and then moving on. And perhaps there has been a bit of that, that we felt like a stopping point for some people. And again, we just want to kind of acknowledge these things are okay. But we do think we are entering into something new, which is fresh. And there's an excitement around that. We also think that there's something kind of unique about us that's great for us to be sharing. And that as we think about what's going on in the nation, we think about what's going on in our communities, we think we've got a special role to play in that. That it's not just about kind of the bigger churches that we might kind of look at and think, oh, how are we going to kind of do things when they've got so many more people or got such great youth work? We think there's something special that we have to bring to that as we enter this new phase. So that was just a changing season. I think, Trevor, you're going to talk about mission.
Yeah, mission and outreach is the next thing that we just want to look at briefly. And I guess this picture, for me, describes what Network's mission and outreach is primarily about, which is about equipping us to see God's kingdom come where we are, out there, day to day, in our workplaces, in our family networks, in our community relationships, whatever we're doing, that we're carriers of the kingdom, that we're catalysts for God's kingdom to come in those spaces. But we don't only breathe out, we breathe in as well, don't we? And our very breath, our very life is in and out, in and out. So there's a need for us as well to be thinking about how we might see more people connect with us as a Christian community, as well as supporting us as we're out there. What's it about for us to grow our Christian community, our gathering here on a Sunday or in our small groups? And again, I think for me, maybe for some of us, that is about confidence. You know, I think we had a great morning. I can think of lots of people who would have enjoyed being part of us this morning. What would it take for them to be here? That's the question I've been mulling over. I've discovered what that looks like, having two new Christians in our cell group on a Wednesday evening. They love it. It's a great space for them. They love the engagement, the participation, having another guy join us on a Friday afternoon. Chloe and I were just saying, as we arrived this morning, it's fantastic. He's more excited than any of us. Was thrilled that we'd ordered him a Bible. It arrived as we gathered together on Friday afternoon, and he said, I just can't wait to get into this book. He said, where shall I start reading? And we said, well, probably Matthew, Mark. Yeah. He said, oh, yeah, well, if I start one, I probably won't be able to put it down. I love reading. It's great, isn't it? How many more people would love that opportunity? And where are they? And how can we connect with them and help them and support them and encourage them? Not as a huge project necessarily, but just in these little ways, just folding them into the spaces that we already have that are good for us, that we enjoy, and would be good for others and they could enjoy as well. So that's what we've been thinking about. And part of that is about confidence. It is about hope. It is about having a sense of God's called us together. It's good for us to be together, and it would be good for other people to be with us in those various spaces that we gather together. But we do have some specifics that we're going to bring to this. One is that we're going to put a focus, as I think we mentioned, around the pottery studio, which we're just in the process of re-roofing because it leaks like a sieve. So over the last few months, we've gone in flip-flops because the floor's wet, you know, or taken our shoes off before we've gone in. So that's being sorted with a view to it becoming a space. This is at the Oval, which can be for our use. It will be a pottery studio, but it will have spaces or space within it where you can meet and do other things as well as pottery. So our encouragement is that it gets used as a space for you to gather there as a small group, for you to take people there to make things with clay if you'd like to, or you might like to just meet there to pray. You might just think, I'd love to go there, just a different space to be in. to have some quiet to pray. And I think it's quite a spiritual space, the factory at the Oval. I don't know why, it just somehow people like being there. It has that sense of something going on in that space. So that will be, so we're putting some initiative into that, putting some budget into that to enable it to happen, to become a gathering space. So that's our bit. What we'd like to encourage you to do is think, how can you use it? Who could you take there? What sort of conversations could you have? Jill Winsley, who shares it with me, already is having ideas about running some Taizé prayer there, for instance, as a different space, a different worship space, a different connection space. So we have lots of other things going on which sort of sit in the sort of out there space to some degree. A number of us working with STEP, the language teaching that's going on, a number of us connecting with Azalea in various different ways, the Enneagram group that Jill Folger and I have been running and hosting for probably about 10 years now, that has a whole mixture of people in that just has some quite deep and profound conversations going on. What will it take for us to perhaps, well, we need to continue doing those things. They're all good things. They're missional, they're kingdom things. But what will it take for us to do more things that perhaps connect people with us, I guess, is part of our encouragement, part of our thinking. So I've mentioned the pottery thing. The other things have already been mentioned this morning, interestingly enough, which is Alpha, which reminded me of a phrase of a church leader a few years ago. Alpha's a bit like fishing for whales in a bath. How could you not catch a fish as big as a whale in a bath? And Alpha's a bit like that, because people are there who are looking for God. All I did was turned up, offered to help to run a group, make friends with a couple of people and invite them to come and join my group. That's all I did. Everything else happens. So encourage you to think about offering, as Louise has encouraged you this morning, but also to think about who you might take. The current Alpha videos are superb documentary-type videos, and really good content and some great conversations around the small group. So that's an area. The other area we're thinking about, which is sort of mission but not mission, is how many people are out there that are currently disconnected from church, who once might even have been at the core of church life somewhere, and you know them, and they might just be tempted to be part of who we are and what we're like, because it's a bit different to what they might have experienced historically. And an invite might just encourage them to be in the space. I met a lady who came and joined us in the pottery, has been coming for the last few years and discovered that she historically went to church, is not currently going. So I said, oh, you might like to join us. You might like to come one Sunday morning. You might like to be part of a small group. It's not a difficult thing to offer. And I think maybe we have something that is attractive to those sort of people because it's not what they've pushed away from historically. We're in a different space.
There's one other thing which I just want to kind of mention on the back of that, which is around some of the comments we had from the feedback was we need to do more about making us more visible. And if you kind of take that broader context of we think the Lord's doing something in our communities and we want to be ready for that, we think there's work to be done to help us be a little bit more visible and on the map. So we are going to be looking at kind of, if you like, communication in the broadest sense, so that the way we present ourselves, whether it's on the website, whether it's the language we use. We had a bit of feedback that sometimes people find it a bit hard to connect with some of the words that we use. So we're going to be thinking a little bit about how we can refresh some of that in a way which makes us more accessible and more visible to people in our communities. So I was going to touch on young people and community. First of all, young people. As we were already saying, we want the guys at the back to be very much a core part of a church. And we thought about some kind of more radical ideas that one or two of you proposed, like could we bring in a Charlotte permanently to help us? Of course, we'd love Charlotte to be with us permanently. But let's bring in a youth worker or a children's worker and a kind of a build it and they will come kind of philosophy. And actually, we concluded that for now, we didn't think that was the right answer. Because in fact, talking with these guys, they really enjoy Rock Club and the connection, the deep involvement in what we do as church. And we don't want to kind of position children's work to one side and have someone else kind of do all that, like it's kind of outsourcing our responsibility, if you like. We just don't feel that that's who we are at the moment. And so that kind of gives us a challenge as to how do we kind of keep maintaining what we do and actually then kind of make it more accessible for people when they join us, because we all have that experience of a family might kind of discover us somehow and come along and they choose not to stick because maybe there's better youth work or more youth work or however you want to describe it at some other church, and we all have kind of wry smiles about these things. We've grappled with it for a number of years. But actually, the kind of the message that we get is that we do lots of things, and I think you guys really enjoy being part of what we do, whether it's on Story Sunday or on Rock Club. But we want to create more opportunity for that. So we're going to be working on how we communicate with people when they do come to kind of really give that sense of there's some really good things here. And actually, it's a really positive experience for children to be a part of our community. So there's a few things we're going to be kind of doing slightly different. One thing we've already we committed to starting, which we've already begun, is creating an all-age cell. So we've met as Mitchell and Viljan families a couple of times now, starting as a monthly basis, to do cell in the same way that the grown-up cells are run. We kind of go through the same kind of format, same kind of deep discussions. There's nothing kind of watered down. It's proper cell. But really just to kind of really be investing in our young people and creating something which, as families, might connect with the church that they can hook into as well. And frankly, it's all age. So if any of you want to come along from time to time, you'd be very, very welcome. And that's in a way is a challenge back to you. As we're thinking, kind of what do we want to kind of put back as a challenge to you in this space? And especially if you're in that season where you don't have children or you kind of you don't feel it's kind of relevant to you, we just want to encourage you to engage. And you have lots of wisdom and life experience to share. And there's opportunities for that with the young people as well. Whether that is coming along to All Age Cell and just kind of sharing and participating with that, whether it's offering to kind of help or do something on a Story Sunday or to kind of go and kind of tell some of your story in Rock Club. There's opportunity for everybody around this. And as we are community, we want to kind of be sharing that responsibility as community. So that cell we started just on a monthly basis to start off with. We're following the Youth Alpha DVDs. We've done that once. We got our second one this afternoon. Really great materials. As Trevor was saying, I don't know what the adult one's like, but the youth one's great. So really quite challenging questions. And actually, some of the things that we've been talking about, David and I were saying the other day, God, it's actually quite difficult. Actually, it really is quite challenging because some things we've kind of can assume, and we don't have the dialogue about it in the same way. We kind of assume some of those faith fundamentals. So actually, it's good for us as adults as well to kind of be thinking about how do we talk about our faith in these ways, and that these things which maybe we just kind of aren't used and familiar to talking about. So it's really quite good fun. And then that last area about community. I'd say one of the things that I think came through really strongly from the time we spent with each other, and especially the time we spent kind of going around having a bit of fun, having lunch in people's homes, was just the number of people who came back to me and said, I've never had a proper conversation with that person. I've never been to that person's house. It just kind of opened up a different kind of dialogue. And so our invitation around that really is just kind of keep that going. And a number of you I know have done that, who've been kind of quite challenged by that. And how do we open up our homes and just invite people for a cup of coffee or to have lunch or something in just little ways? I think if all of us made a small commitment to just do something a little bit different, maybe it is just once a month, I'm going to think to give someone a call and say, do you want to grab a coffee? If we're all doing that, it becomes an exponentially greater thing across the church. And I know many felt quite challenged in that area of community and a little bit of ruffled feathers as to, you know, I feel fine, you know, the people I know very well and I'm quite happy with that. But actually, I think what was quite challenging was not everyone felt the same. Some people had felt quite isolated, actually, in church. So I think it's just a challenge to us to be more mindful as to how we go about doing that. So from our perspective as a leadership team, we are going to be looking to experiment with a few different formats, which just give a different dynamic. So we still see, for the time being, our kind of Sunday base, if you like, being here. We have looked at other alternatives over a sustained period of time. And trust me, there's not a magic building out there which is going to tick every box we might have. There are imperfections about meeting here, but there are also a lot of positive things about meeting here, which I could explore if you really wish to. But we are going to try from time to time doing things like meeting in the Oval Cafe. And we've done that a couple of times. It brings quite a different dynamic. We're a bit more kind of huddled together. It's a bit more kind of low tech. So it's quite a lot more relational. So we're going to be exploring that on a few occasions over the coming months, and just see how that goes, and just see if are we kind of challenged to do something more dramatic. We've thought about kind of things like once a month going and, you know, meeting in people's homes, but yeah, there's something about having a kind of a certain kind of regularity and pattern. We don't want to kind of be requiring everyone to check an app as to where have I got to be this morning. It gets confusing. So we ought to kind of be trying to follow a pattern, not kind of be too disruptive, although I do like being disruptive. It kind of comes naturally. But it's about those little things. So there's nothing kind of big and dramatic in that. And actually, maybe as you kind of listen to what we've been talking about, you've gone through those different categories, you're thinking, is that it? So, you know, we spent months and that's what we come up with. And actually, our thinking is, yeah, that's it. For us, it's about those small areas of engagement. Alpha, we've kind of talked about Alpha a lot. The reality is it's Trevor who's done Alpha, if we're being honest about it. And so our encouragement is, let's step in and participate in these things and allow ourselves to be challenged in these areas. So when we talk about Alpha, let's take that as a personal responsibility. When we talk about, you know, those people who are, I call them like the lost sheep, that are kind of perhaps disconnected from church, let's really think about how we can engage with those people. And it might just be kind of having that bold step of, do you want to come along to my cell group? You know, talking with the children, they say it'd be very difficult for them to invite people to this Sunday space, but actually to our cell group, that's a possibility. So let's kind of be intentional as to how we think about things. So it's not about a kind of a big dramatic shift, but more about kind of how can we be more personally and intentionally involved.
Good. So as Darren said at the outset, this isn't it. It's not set in stone. It's where we've got to. This is an ongoing process. All of these thoughts are on the pages that we have here, and we'll circulate them around so that you can have something in writing that's come out of this process. We'd love to continue this conversation with you. The example that comes to my mind is the British cycling team, who've seen success through incremental, small changes. That's how they've got their medals. That's how they've got ahead, got in front, just doing little changes here and there, making it slightly better, in lots of different areas. And that's, I think, the way that we're thinking about who we are, who we're becoming, who God's asking us to be. So love to have further